Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
Good morning. Welcome to Christ Community Church. Usually we don't get out that quick like that or something. Or we don't get done. Something happened different. But are y'all glad to be here? Amen. Y'all ready to worship the Lord? He's the only one who's worthy. He's the hero. He's the star of the show. It's not about us. I was talking in there when we prayed with the band and said, I think we're the coolest church. God made us cool. But better than that, He's given us Jesus. You know, Jesus is the one we preach. We don't promote how cool we are, no matter how cool we are. You know, we promote Jesus. We're going to focus on Him. So while you're worshiping today, put your mind on the Lord. Okay? Whatever's going on at home, whatever you came in, and whether it was easy to get to church today or difficult, lay all that aside. We're going to have this one moment to focus on the Lord and to hear His Word, and let it be profitable to you by allowing Him to do His work. Just put everything else aside for a minute. You can't do nothing about those things right now anyway. You're here. You're here for a reason. Hear the Word. Praise the Lord. Get something out of it. Y'all ready? All right, Father, thank You for loving us. Thank You for the opportunity we have to be here with You, with each other. And Lord, I just pray that You would let Jesus shine up above everything while we sing, while the Word's preached, while we respond, and everything we do, that You would rise above all the noise in our head, all the sadness, the hurt, or even the joy in our heart, that would be nothing greater than Christ. That we would focus on Him. Lord, we love You. We give You all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds, by his wounds, we are healed.
He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, by his wounds, we are healed.
We are healed by your sacrifice.
In Isaiah, he's talking to a group of people who are about to be thrown into exile, but he gives them this good news, that the root of Jesse, the stump of Jesse, is going to come, and he's going to take all of our sin on himself, and by his wounds, we're healed. Now that sounds like bad news for him, but if you don't know this, I'm going to go ahead and spoil it. He didn't stay dead. Amen? And so I love the promise, the blessing that Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who by His mercy, according to His great mercy, has made us alive together in Him to a living hope." Now that's not a hypothetical hope, like I hope the chicken that I turned on in my crock pot at 5 this morning turns out okay. That's hypothetical. This is a sure thing because Jesus is living and Jesus is active and Jesus is working on our behalf. Amen? And we get to praise and worship that living Savior, and He alone is our hope.
Colors and all that stuff, everybody's trying to just remind me of Easter eggs. I don't know, I can't help it. I'm just letting y'all in. You can get back out, though. You don't got to live here. I'm just letting you in for a second to look around. Yeah, right, you can go back to your own mess. You know, that's right. You don't get a say in mine. All right, we're going to be in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and we're just going to focus on Jesus. I know that I'm pretty simple as a preacher, and I appreciate y'all being here. I don't have all the complex, deep things of theology. I'm not exceedingly smart or anything. I'm not a scholar like maybe you know there's some folks are, and you can listen to in our age. You can listen to any preacher you want. They're on TV, they're on your phone. You can carry a preacher around with you and listen on your phone to the best preachers in the world. I'm not trying to compete. I'm just telling you this. I am so happy that I get to preach about Jesus. I feel like there needs to be two of me right now. You know, I done got to preach them once this morning and I'm still fired up. The message is just focused on Him, okay? I can't bury the headline. I just got to bring it right out. Listen, we don't go to Jesus to get answers about our life. Jesus is the answer for our life. Y'all get the difference? Like, we don't go to Him and say, hey, what am I supposed to do about work and marriage and parenting and this and that? Look, there's answers to all those things. There's books written on all those things. There's great advice in the Word of God for all that. But we come to Jesus not for answers so we can fix our life. We come to Him as the answer, and He fixes our life. Woo. That's why I love it, man. We sang all these songs this morning. They're just hitting, just boom and boom. And I'm going, boom, boom, boom. Scaring the death of people over here. You know, hey, I remember the first time I went to a football game in Mississippi. And I probably shouldn't even say this, but y'all just, you know how y'all are. You get me talking. And, man, I'm sitting there, and it was, and y'all, I'm from Michigan, so don't get mad about the game I was at, but I was at the Ole Miss game, and they're playing LSU. They're playing LSU, okay? So it's a heated game. And the dude, there's a dude in front of us, and Ole Miss was not winning, okay? Anyway, just telling you, they just weren't winning, you know, but they made some good plays, but the dude in front of us, he was a fan, and he was so mad that they weren't winning. That wasn't the problem, but he was also extremely intoxicated. And when the police came to get him, because he was sitting in the wrong section to be saying the things he was saying, the police, he started saying, "You don't know who my dad is, or my dad." And then the police were dragging him out of the stadium. And I thought, man, the only reason I share that story with you is because it's funny. It's got nothing to do with anything else. But you know what? There's something we ought to get excited when we come to church and we hear about Jesus. Man, all the intellectual stuff, all the deep spiritual stuff, that's great. That's fine. You got time. Get into it. But man, there is nothing higher, nothing deeper, nothing more wonderful in the Scripture than the Son of God and who He is and what He's done. Don't you ever step away from that. Don't you ever not get excited about that. Okay? Let's look at this word and we'll get there. First, it's John chapter 1, verse 35 through 42, and this is what it says. "Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. Looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and, seeing them following, said to them, 'What do you seek?' And they said to him, 'Rabbi,' which is translated 'teacher,' 'where are you staying?' He said, 'Come on and see.' They came and they saw where he was staying, and they remained with him for that day." Now it was about the 10th hour. "One of the two who had heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,'" which is translated "the Christ. "And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, 'You're Simon, the son of Jonah. But you shall be called Cephas,'" which is translated "a stone." Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. And we're here just to shine a light on Jesus. We're here just to lift him up. Lift you up, Lord. That's what we want to do. It's what we did in song already. Now the word. We just want to lift you up that we might go out of here all the more confident, all the more courageous and bold to speak in the name of Jesus, pray in the name of Jesus, to share the name of Jesus, to brag on Jesus. Help us, Lord, in everything to see how you're awesome and that you're the answer. Lord, we love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when I say Jesus is the answer, I'm not talking about in a weird, silly Sunday school way. Y'all have heard that story about the Sunday school teacher, and she's teaching and she says, okay. And she's teaching about God's creation. And she's teaching about even, how God made all the animals. And she says, I'm going to describe one of God's creations. And I want y'all to tell me, as soon as you figure out what it is I'm describing, I want y'all to tell me what it is. They said, all right. So she said, it's got four legs. And they're waiting, okay. It's got a bushy tail. That's all right. Kind of walks around, got buck teeth in the front, and it gathers up nuts and stores them in a tree. It's brown. And then I just looked at him like, finally, one brave kid raised her hand up. She raised her hand up. She said, okay. Angel, tell me who it is. Tell me what it is. And she says, well, Miss Jones, it sure sounds like you're describing a squirrel, but I know the answer is Jesus. You know? In Sunday school, we kind of just make Jesus the answer for all these. But I'm not talking about Jesus being the answer that way. I'm talking about this, y'all. When it comes to fixing our lives, we're always wanting to know how to do it. What steps to take? What's the formula? What's the next right thing? What do I got to do? What can I add to my life? What can I subtract to my life? What is the secret, LG, to longevity? Amen. What's the secret? How? You know, we want to know these things. What should I do? What should I invest in? Where should I go? All these things. And we come to Jesus with all this. And that's cool. I don't want to discourage you. Come to Jesus with everything you got. But I just want to remind the church of this. Jesus is not some guru sitting on top of the mountain with his legs crossed going, waiting for you to climb up and ask clever questions. He is the Lord our God. And when He's in your life, there's a brightness and a light that shines through you that answers all the questions anyway. All of a sudden, you start going, "Ooh, wait a minute. Maybe my original questions weren't as important as I thought because now I'm standing in the presence of God." Does that make sense? He Himself is the answer. Now, we're still going to have questions like, "Where are you going to go out to eat?" Which doesn't seem like a big-time question until you're with your wife. And no matter how smart and how many college degrees might be inside that car, it becomes the toughest question in the universe. You know? But Jesus ain't going to... You know what? Let's just pray. We're going to ask Jesus where we should go to eat. Jesus, I'm going to lay out three names. We got La Cabana. We got Chinese. And we got Jake and Rips. And Lord, just on the outside chance, we're going to throw Shoney's. Would you lead us in this? Listen, man, we come to Jesus for all kind of things, but I'm going to tell you something. When we're walking with Jesus, all of a sudden it's like, look, we're going to get something to eat. It's not a big deal. We're going to figure it out. But man, there's a life in me. There's a light on me. And these questions don't seem to be as significant anymore. Y'all, we've got to get to the point where we just hunker down and focus on Jesus. He is the answer. Let's look at this. Jesus is the answer. We don't come to Jesus for answers. We come to Jesus as the answer. Let me say one more, just another thing about that. I'm saying, let me. As if y'all are going to rush me and take my microphone and be like, shut up, you can't say anything else. Anyway, I'm going to say one more thing about that, okay? I believe we come to Jesus for answers because we already know what we want to do and we want to work it out ourselves. It's almost like coming to your folks for money. You know what I'm saying? You're not wanting to spend the money. When my kids say, hey, you know, I'm getting to that stage now where my hand's got this repetitive motion, pocket to the kid, pocket to the kid, pocket to the kid, wallet, pocket, kid. But they're not wanting to spend the money with me. They got their own ideas for the money. You know, they know what they're going to do with the money. They're just coming to me as the source of the money, and I'm giving it to them, and they say thank you as they're saying bye. Bye, thanks, all right, bye. We come to Jesus like that, I believe. We come to Jesus in the sense of, Jesus, give me an answer so I can take it and I can go off and I can do what I want to do. So I can make my life what I want it to be. Just give me the answers. Tell me what to do. What if Jesus said, just walk with me. Just walk with me and I'll take care of it. Just spend time with me. Just let me come with you. Let me be your Lord. Follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. What if Jesus said something like that? Oh, wait a minute. He says stuff like that, don't he? See, we just want to stay in control. Give me the answer. I'll figure it out. Tell me the five steps that are really important, and I'm going to pick out the three I like best, and I'm going to work that plan, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Appreciate you. See you Sunday. Bye-bye. Man, that's not how it works. Let's look at this. Jesus is the answer. So John the Baptist is looking at Jesus, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God." For everybody who's read the Bible, and we have some sense, Bible sense about this, we understand that the Lamb of God in the Bible is not a cute figure. It's not a figure of like a lammy that's just really cute, like a stuffed animal. We're talking about a sacrificial animal. We're talking about an animal that's going to die. When he says, "Behold the Lamb of God," John is pointing to Jesus as the answer to the world's problem with sin. That's the first thing. Y'all, when we have a sin problem, we don't go to Jesus to get answers. We go to Jesus because He is the answer. This is right where it starts. You're not going to ever get answers about how to overcome your sin nature. You're going to have to come to Jesus, who was the sacrificial lamb who died for your sins. The day previous to this, John saw Jesus and he said this, "Behold the Lamb of God." But then he added, "Who takes away the sins of the world." For your sin problem, my sin problem, it's not about getting more moral. It's not about starting a new discipline. It's about coming to Jesus. It's about saying, "Lord, it's you that I need every day. I need to come freshly reminded that I'm dependent on God, that I'm covered by His blood, and I need to put myself there and keep myself there.
with him. He is the answer. So when you're weighing, you're carrying that guilt of sin, where do you go? Where's the answer? It's in Jesus. Man, doesn't the world have all kind of different answers for guilt? Man, if you listen to some of the country music that I've been listening to lately, and I don't know, this is like confession, don't tell nobody. You know, but you listen to Eric Church and Chris Stapleton enough, all of a sudden you're going to get stoned. I might as well get stoned. You're going to smoke a little smoke and drink a little drink and do all this stuff. And that's the answer to I'm alone, to I'm guilty, I'm sad, I'm all these things. That's the country song answer to that. How good is that answer? Some of us tried that. How well does it work? Not so much. So where do we go with our guilt? The guilt of our sin. Where's the answer? Jesus. That's it. Nobody but Jesus. What about when we lost our way? Man, I've talked to Christian people. Say, man, I just feel lost. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I've lost my way. Lost my way in my job, in my thinking, in my marriage, in my church, in everything, in parenting. I just kind of lost my way. Where do you go when you lost your way? What's the answer? You know, we can give all kind of advice. But if you lost your way, listen, Jesus said, I am the way. So you know what that means? If you lost your way, where do you need to come back? Where you need to start? Where you need, right, if you've lost your way, Jesus is the way. So again, He's the answer. I talk to all kind of people now, and we hear so much junk. Oh, do yourself a favor and unplug from some of the junk every once in a while. Turn your phone completely off every once in a while. Just get alone with you and God for a minute. Because I know if you listen to cable news, radio news, I was going to say read a newspaper, but that's like 0.008% of people now. You're getting news, and you're going to get one set of news that says, this is the problem, and they're the problem, and this is the problem. And then you get another set of news that says, no, this is the problem, and he's the problem, and they're the problem. Who's true? Who's telling the truth? I know what y'all are going to say. Fox News telling the truth. No, they ain't. They ain't neither. Oh, you're a CNN guy. No, they lies too. You're like, there's a fake news problem. Ain't none of it news. All of it's opinion. Yeah, like they think they know something about something. It's all everybody's opinion. They ain't even just report. You can read what people say, and they just say their opinion about this and their opinion about that. Don't look for truth. The news ain't where we look for truth. The television and social media, what horrible sources to find the truth. If you don't know what the truth is, because you hear all these contradictory ideas, what's the answer? Who's the answer? Jesus said, I am the truth. He's the truth. Start there. Okay? The Son of God died for my sins, rose from the dead, is my Lord and Savior. That's true. Let's build out from there. His Word is true. Let's build out. You know, so now you start building a platform for truth. For two reasons. One, so when you hear all the lies flying, they don't sway you. Paul's going to say later on in the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians, he says that you don't get swayed and pushed about by every false doctrine and new thing that comes up that shakes everybody else. Establish yourself on truth. And who's the truth? Jesus is the truth. What happens when you just get scared in life? Life is scary. I got thinking about this, and I shared this morning. I didn't know I was going to share it because sometimes I have no idea what I'm going to say. But now I know what I'm going to say, and it's still scary. But, you know, I think about the reality of automobile accidents and that I have four children, a wife and four kids, besides having a mama and other folks and friends and family and church family that I care about. What's the odds that we're going to lose somebody? What's the odds that we're going to lose somebody that way? Unexpectedly, and just 1 minute, your life is like this. The next minute, it's totally missing. And that's just one. That's just car accidents. And I'm bringing that up because I know people in this room have experienced it. I know how common it is. What happens if you dwell on that? Oh, all of a sudden you start taking the keys away, you start hiding the car, you hide inside your house, you're like, we ain't going. You start, cloistering in, and you can get really scared in this life. In this life, when you get scared, you know who you should go to? Who's the answer? Jesus, because he said he is the life. Remember, he showed up at a funeral. He showed up at Lazarus' funeral. He met Lazarus' two sisters. And they were both distraught. But Martha was a little more composed and was like, Lord, brother's dead. You could have probably done something about that, but I know you have your, you're a rabbi and you're busy. And Jesus said, Martha, don't you believe? Don't you believe on the resurrection and the life? He spoke to her and she said, yeah, I believe. I believe that there's a hope for my brother. But then he had to meet Mary. And Mary was all tore up, ugly, snot bubble crying. Just bad. Just boo-hooing. And she wasn't going to let Jesus off the hook for nothing. You didn't save my brother. And you know you could have. She was hurt. What was Jesus' response to her? He cried. He just wept. Oh, and then he did this one other thing. He said, Lazarus, come on out. Can I tell you something? When we get scared to death, we need to remember that Jesus has control over all that deal. When we get scared of living, scared of dying, we need to remember who's the one that has control over all that stuff. It's Jesus. It's not a plan. It's not a church. It's not a program. It's not a tradition or denomination. It's a person, and the person is Jesus Christ. He is the one. He's the only one. Man, I was sitting there. I went to the ICU at Region 1. It used to be called the Med up in Memphis. I remember the first time I went to that hospital, there was a blood trail going in. And I was like, what am I getting into? I was there. Wasn't no blood trail this last time. But man, I went and saw one of the young men who got shot in Grenada, not last week, but the week before. Young man in his 20s. He had Crohn's disease already. He got shot in the abdomen, ruined his colon. He has to be in a colostomy bag. In ICU, really just, glad to be alive type thing. But can you imagine? Can you just put yourself in his shoes for a second? What could I offer him? I mean, maybe there'd be, I don't even know if there, legally, if there's any lawsuit, if there's any money, if there's any insurance. I got no idea about all that stuff. But what can I actually offer this person that has, could make some kind of difference and some kind of hope in a young man who's going to have a bag attached to his waist for the rest of his life? He has a plastic abdomen now because his real one was shot. What am I going to say to him? What do I have to offer him? What kind of good words can you say? Things are going to get better and it's going to be all right. It's like, you lying dog. Things are going to be incredibly painful, embarrassing, and hard. But I know the author of life and death. I know the one who gives eternal life for those who put their faith in him. I know the one who makes the broken whole again. I know Jesus, and I have him to offer to you. So that's what I prayed for him. I said, man, that's all I got is Jesus. That's all I got. Man, but you know what? That's all can help him anyway. He's in a bad way. He's going to have to get with Jesus and figure out a way of living. Reason for living. Just to go one step in front of the other. Just a reason. Finding it. I believe he's going to. I believe he's going to do it in the name of Jesus. And it's going to be glorifying to him. Does that make sense? Y'all, we ought to just be promoting Jesus and nonstop. Listen to this. Let our words ought to always point to Jesus, not ourselves. Our words ought to always point to him and not just us. Y'all, think about it. When you meet somebody after a while, do they get to thinking, wow, he's funny. She's cute. They're organized. They're really nice people. They're really moral people. They're really religious people. What do they think? Or do they think this? Jesus has got a hold on them. Jesus has got a hold on them. That always, even if you bug people with Jesus, don't worry about it. It'd be all right. They'd be like, ah, every time I talk to him, he's talking about Jesus. There's going to come a time when they won't know about that. They're going to say, hey, man, you're the one guy I know that's always talking about Jesus. And when it gets real, when life gets real and stomps on your head, you don't want to know somebody who knows Jesus real well. But y'all, our words ought to point to him. Look at what John the Baptist did. John the Baptist had disciples. Think about John being like a pastor of his own little church. And then all of a sudden Jesus comes around like as a different type pastor. And John looks at Jesus and says, behold the Lamb of God. And two of his church members split, leave him, and they go walking with Jesus. Now I know how pastors are about that. We want to spit. But you know what John knew? John knew, and he says it later in this gospel. This is all for Jesus. And I've got to decrease, and he's got to increase. It's all about Jesus. John had that right mindset. Man, what if people like you or dislike you? In the scheme of things, in eternity, so what? Big whoop. Maybe you get to be the one that gets their eye turned to Jesus. Maybe you get to be the one that gets them thinking about Jesus. John got the Apostle John. John the Baptist got the Apostle John and the Apostle Andrew to think about Jesus. And then Andrew, after he spent a day with Jesus, got to thinking, I need to go tell my brother about the Messiah. So he went and used his words and told Peter something that I'm guessing he had never heard Andrew say before, and that was, we found the one. We found the Messiah. And he brought Peter to Jesus, the Apostle Peter. All because some of, man, they're just using their words to talk about Jesus and point people to Jesus. There was a man, I can't remember. Mordecai Ham. Y'all know that name? Mordecai Ham. Y'all know who that is? He was he's not the guy who invented ham. Some of y'all are like, I bet you that's the guy who invented ham. I love ham. Mordecai Ham is the man who was preaching about Jesus when Billy Graham got saved. He just turned his eyes. Billy Graham grew up in a quasi-religious family. I mean, they weren't always going, you know, but they kind of, there was a revival and his parents got to going. They lured Billy into coming by saying he could drive the truck, which tells me kids ain't never changed, because we do that stuff with our kids. Like, you know, man, we need to go to the store. Forgot something. Hey, let's ask Josh. Hey, Josh, you can drive the car. You go, you know, you just got to go pick this up. You're like, all right. Use some money, keep the change. We're always doing that kind of stuff. So they get him to come to revival. This dude preaching about Jesus, and Billy Graham gives his life to the Lord. And then what happened in Billy's life? Woo! And how many more based on who he had, you know, seen come? It's amazing. Point folks to Jesus. When I think about Andrew, Andrew I think was probably the weirdest, and I got no Bible on this, so y'all just put a pause on here for a second, but I think Andrew was the weird brother in the family. You know, Peter was a fisherman, so Peter I imagine was working, but see, Andrew was hanging out with John the Baptist. He was hanging out with a preacher in the wilderness, dressed in camel skin, eating grasshoppers. That's what Andrew was doing. That's who Andrew was following. At some point, I bet you he told Peter, man, we got this weird preacher out there. He got a big old beard. He's wearing a blue shirt. No, I mean, you know, he's dressed like a camel, or dressed in camel fur, eating locusts, eating honey, preaching about repentance, preaching about calling people vipers and things, and all that stuff. And Peter's like, that's great, Andrew. I got to mend my nets because I got a job. You know why Peter had a job? Because Peter had a wife. He got a wife. I'm thinking Andrew was the weird single brother in the family. So he's mending nets. He's patching up the boat. He's talking. He's making business deals like, hey, where are we going to fish this time or that time and all these things. He's got a mother-in-law. He's got a house. He's got a wife. He's got kids. So he's got a job. That's nice, Andrew. That's nice. Andrew came and told him something different. He didn't tell him about what the guy was preaching. He didn't tell him about all those things. What did Andrew tell him? We found the one. He just focused right on Jesus. We found Messiah. Dude, we found Messiah. What do you think that meant? from a Jewish brother to another Jewish brother. We found Messiah. It was enough to take Peter away from his work to come and see Jesus. It says, Andrew told him that, and he brought him to Jesus. I love that. May our words, may our actions as a church, may we not brag on anything or anyone but Jesus, so that we'll see people come to know Him. And I want you to know this. I want you to be confident, church. Be confident. What is Jesus going to do with the people who come to Him? What does Jesus do with the people who come to Him? He changes them. He saves them. He heals them. Man, there's really no end to what He does with us, in us, through us. It's an amazing thing. But I love this. Andrew goes to get Simon. It's the one we call Peter. So I'm just going to call him Peter. He goes and gets Peter, brings Peter over to Jesus. And I love this. There should be an exclamation point right here. If I was right, you know, if they asked me, I would put one there. It says, "You are Simon, the son of John." That's what he says right there in verse 42. Son of Jonah, that's just Hebrew for John. "You are Simon, the son of John." Exclamation point. Pow! You know why I think that should be an exclamation point? Because Jesus knew who Simon was. Jesus knew who Peter was. He's the Creator God. And He saw him coming and He said, "Woo, boy, I made you for this. You're going to be one of my 12 disciples. You've got a big mouth, but you're going to use it, brother. You're going to share it with the whole world. You're going to write things and do things. And oh, I'm so happy to see you right now." You don't think He greets us like that? You know what it says when one sinner turns to repentance? What do the angels in heaven do? Boom, 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 boom. Disco lights in heaven come up. It's a good time. Man, so Peter shows up and Jesus says, "Hello, man. Woo." Man, we don't get greetings like that. We do pretty good. Can you imagine though? We didn't make any of the people here in that way. Not like Jesus had. Jesus had made Peter with a design. Peter knew, Jesus knew exactly who he was, exactly why he was there, and he was like, "Yes, I see you, and I'm so glad you're here." He welcomes us. He welcomes us. He's excited about us. We are made in the image of God. You don't think that the Son of God was excited to see when people came to Him? Woo! And then He tells them, He gives them a nickname. I love that. You know what that says? What does it mean when somebody gives you a nickname? I decided it either means they really like you or they really don't. It's like you family kin to them or you really annoying. It depends on the nickname and depends on who's giving it to you. But when Jesus saw Simon, He's fired up and then He gave him a nickname. He said, "I'm going to call you Cephas," which means the stone. "I'm going to call you the stone." Say, come on. Man, it was in a good way. You know, my kids all have nicknames. We got Dude, Leaves, Alligator, and Boo. But that's just the basic names. They all got derivatives from that. They got all kind of names. Some of which don't need to be repeated. But it's because we love them. Man, we've owned them. We've received them. We think about them and we give them these names of terms of affection. That's what Jesus did. You know, when you bring somebody to Jesus, He gets to know them and own it and love it. And He gives them a nickname. One of the most exciting, funny things that's happening in the Holcomb Church is coming up with all the nicknames. It's coming up with all the nicknames. I love it. On Thursday night, we'll walk in and here comes Suge. And Sis is bringing some baked goods. We got Tauntaun on the karaoke machine. We got Plug sitting back, holding it down. All of a sudden, they said they're going to give me a nickname. And Randy said they ought to be Outhouse. Because they said I was a John already. Y'all see the kind of stuff I got dealing with? But it seems like it's going to be not Outhouse. It's like J-Dog or Big J, which is funny to me because my name's already a nickname. Everybody, Big John's already a nickname, but they're giving my nickname a nickname. But there's a fellowship in there. There's a tightness in that. There's a belonging. And I want y'all to feel that. Jesus gives us that name. Jesus says, man, you belong to me. Come on. When we focus on Him and folks come to Jesus, He receives them. Just like He did Peter. Listen to what it says in John chapter 6, verse 37. Just to kind of put this point over the board right here. It says, The one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. The one who comes to me, I will no means cast out. Y'all, you might be able to get cast out of a church. A church might be able to get cast out of a denomination. A denomination can be cast out of all the tax code. But if you come to Christ, you will by no means be cast out. Y'all get that? He receives you to His forever home forever. That's just because He's good. He's good. Y'all get it? Focus on Him. Jesus is the answer. Don't worry about having an answer for everybody about who they should vote for and how they should be and where they should go, where they should spend time, who they should spend time with, and what they should watch and what they should listen to and where they go. We get caught up in all these things. Don't taste, don't touch, don't go, don't do, blah, 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 blah. Give them to Jesus. Say, look, you need to pray to Him. You need to ask Him. Let's pray together. Let's talk together. Let's look at His Word. Get them to Jesus. And let Jesus do all those things perfectly in their life. As opposed to us throwing out whatever kind of crackpot ideas we come up with. Okay? Because a lot of the morality that floats around churches is stupid. It's obtrusive. It's obscuring the picture of Christ on the cross. As if somebody could be ever good enough to earn God's love and respect. We need to remind people that He is so fired up in love with us. He's ready to receive us and to make us born again and to use us for His glory. You just got to trust. You just put your faith in Him. Let's end with this right here. If you've never given your life to Christ, this is what we do. We simply come to Him. It's not, you don't got to come to me. You don't got to come formally to the church. You don't got to raise your hands and ask, you know, answer 20 questions or anything like that. It's a matter of taking a step of faith. And saying, Jesus, I know, I believe that I know I'm a sinner. I believe You died on the cross for me. I believe You rose again from the dead. And now I'm asking You to be the Lord of my life and forgive me. And you don't got to say it like that. I'm a preacher. That's kind of polished. You can be snot bubble crying. Jesus, I'm a sinner. Oh, Lord, listen to me. Lord, oh my goodness. You don't think He knows how to interpret those tongues? He does. He'll hear you. He knows your heart. You come to Him, He saves you. He grows you. He changes you. He challenges you. He gets all the glory too. Does that make sense? Church, we don't got nothing to promote but Jesus. Amen. Nothing. So let's stick with Him. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for the opportunity that we have. We give You all the praise and the glory. And Lord, I'm excited. I'm so excited just to sing Your praise, but to focus on Jesus and everything. Everything this morning was just turned towards You. And that's a blessing. And Father, help us just revel in it. Help us to be as happy about it as You are. Father, help us to be as open about bringing people to Jesus as what Andrew was. And just so confident that when we do, You're going to receive them. You're going to receive them. I don't have to worry about what if they're not received in the church, or what if the church does something goofy, or somebody in the church does goofy things. So what? You're going to receive everyone who comes to You, and You're not going to cast them out by any means. Lord, we love You. We trust You. We give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all, this time of invitations for anybody who needs it for whatever reason. You might have come in here with an issue, and it's still on your mind, and you need to leave it here in Jesus' name. But you might be the one who needs to say, Lord, I'm coming to You. Not about church, not about morality, just coming to You. Maybe that's you today. Whatever God put on your heart, this is your time. You can respond as God leads. Do you thirst for a drink from the well?
Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar.
Somebody somewhere doing something. Lord, help us. And thank you for this morning. Thank you for, again, allowing us to focus on you, Lord. And thank you for the song we're about to hear. And those who are about to lead it. And Father, bless the gift and the giver. But Lord, it's all for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Spiritual walk, we'll teach you. Okay? There's going to be a membership class coming up, I think the 8th of September. So if you're here and you say, man, I feel like God wants me to join up with Christ Community Church, put the 8th of September on your schedule. I think it's the 8th. One of those days. Second Sunday in September. And you know, it'll be, I think it's the 8th. LG. I don't know either. And so y'all come to that. In the month of October, I'm looking at, this okay to say? I'm looking at our cameraman. Month of October, we're going to be having, to me, I'm excited about it. It's a special class, Growing in Grace, and Shane Viner's going to be teaching it Wednesday nights at 6:30. And y'all, if you've never been in a Shane class, you want to be in a Shane class. I just promise. And for all y'all who have been, just put it on your schedule. Wednesday nights through the month of October, 6:30 here. All right? I think that's all I got. Love y'all. What happened? Say? Eighth. It's the eighth. Okay, I'm sorry. Tress is speaking to me, and I finally figured it out. Hey, I love y'all. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. In the name of Jesus. Ready? Pray!